As some of you know, every year, in the first week of November, I take a week off for vacation time. And the reason for that is on November 8th, every year, it's the opening day of the raccoon hunting season. And in my family, that's a big deal. We always get together and we go hunting all night long. It's amazing. And to go hunting, to go coon hunting, if you've never been, you gotta have a good dog. You just gotta. And our dog right now is amazing. His name is Snake, which is an odd name for a dog, but it's what he responds to. And Snake is great. We get out there and we let him go and he does his thing. You know, 15 minutes after we let him go, we hear him barking. He's on the trail. You know, we follow where he is. He changes his bark once he gets to the tree, so we know that he's treed. We know he's got something. We get there. He's got his paws up on the tree side, that we know exactly what tree we're looking at. We shine up our lights, and sure enough, there it is. He does a great job. We love our dog, Snake. We haven't always been so lucky in our dogs, though. We had one. His name was Bo. And quite frankly, Bo was an idiot. And we would let Bo go, and he'd be barking. We're like, well, you know, maybe he's got something, maybe not. And we'd follow, you know, where he was, and we'd get there, and he'd just be running around like four or five trees, just barking his head off. And we're like, come on, boy, you know, which tree is it? You know, you got about five of them here, but which one is it? You know, so we can find this thing. And he's just running around barking, and he always looks over at us like, I it's in this area someplace. I don't know where. But it's around, and now it's your turn. You got to find him, you know. So we shine up, and we could never find anything. There was one time we were out, and Bo was hot on a trail, you know, like he was barking up a storm, and we heard him close to us out in the field, and so we shined our spotlights over, and we saw him, and he was chasing something on the ground. And we're like, all right, you know, he doesn't have to chase it up a tree. It's right there. So we're sprinting across the field trying to catch up to him, spotlights shining, and we get a little bit closer, and we're like, that raccoon looks pretty black. We get a little closer and we see this white streak right down the backside of that coon. Needless to say, we did not escort Bo home that evening. We did not get him on a leash. He had to find his own way home, and we didn't get near him for a couple weeks after that. The thing is, in my life, I've met way too many people like Bo. Not that they're idiots, but they just don't have a clear direction in their life. You know, they have a vague notion of where they're headed. They have an idea of what their goals and dreams are in life, but ultimately it's just kind of up in the air. They really don't know what they believe. They really don't know what they stand for. And at some level, they feel that. In common parlance, we usually talk about as feeling lost. We don't know where we're going. A lot of times we think of this as being a problem of the modern age. You know, with all the technology we have, all this stuff going around us, that we're just a people that have lost our way, that we do not have a clear direction in our life, and it's just a plague of the times. But the reality is, for most of human history, this is how we've acted. We like to keep our options open. We like to circle those five trees, hoping that at least one of them has the answer. In fact, this has been such a part of human conditioning for so long that it is no surprise to us that in today's gospel, we hear that John the Baptist was something unique. That the leaders of his day in Jerusalem, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and these great men of the Jewish faith, saw him and they were like, who is this guy? Because with John the Baptist, he had a very clear direction that he was moving in. He was pointing at something very specific. He wasn't vague. He wasn't just arbitrary. He knew. He had a direction. And in that, people saw that in him, and they knew that he was different. And you can tell their desperation. They're like, who are you? Tell us, are you Elijah? Are you one of the great prophets? Are you the Christ? And the beautiful thing about John the Baptist is he never points at himself. He never points at anything in this world. He is pointing towards the only thing that really matters. In this Advent season, we prepare for the coming of Christ into our lives, and we have to ask ourselves that question as well. If someone were to look at my life, if I were to look at my own life, would they know what I'm pointing at? Would they know the trajectory of my life, what I aim at, what the greatest desire of my heart is? Because for most of us, that would be a challenge. And the crazy thing is, it's the simplest things that we do and say and think that make the greatest difference. I love the story. There's a high school youth, let's just say his name was John. And John, he was a born and raised Catholic, cradle Catholic, knew the teachings of the faith, maybe wasn't thrilled with his faith per se, you know, as most high school students aren't, but he knew it, and he believed in it. And so as he went through high school, he knew from their family traditions that before every meal, we say the prayer before meals, "Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts." And so even in the school cafeteria, sitting there, he would quickly make the sign of the cross and kind of mumble the prayer under his breath, just because that was what we're supposed to do, for no other reason. And he did that all through high school. No one ever said anything to him about it. Until his senior year. And as they were getting ready to graduate from high school, let's say his name was Greg, this popular guy, this jock at the school, the quarterback of the football team, finally came up to him and was just like, "John, for 4 years now, I have seen you across the cafeteria, and I see you every single day make this sign of the cross. And every day, I'm watching you to see if you're going to do it, waiting for the day that you would forget or whatever. But you never did. What is it? What are you doing?" John was kind of taken aback by it and said, "Well, it's a prayer. We thank God for what he's given us. We praise him for his love for us, that we have food to eat, that we have friends, that we're blessed." And Greg said, "That's amazing. What faith do you belong to that is such a ready thing that you do it throughout the day?" And John, again, you know, kind of taken aback by this, was like, "Well, I'm Catholic. It's just what we do." Shortly after that, when they graduated and they went off to college, Greg visited the Newman Center that was there on campus. He was curious about this Catholic faith. And upon attending Mass and getting to know the priest at the Newman Center and all the people involved, he began to buy into it. He joined RCIA and he became a Catholic. All because a kid made the sign of the cross and prayed a simple prayer under his breath because he knew where his life was pointed and he had a direction. The actions of his life pointed to something greater. May we do the same. May we orient our lives as John the Baptist did, that everything we say and do points to something greater. And if it does, if that becomes top priority above and beyond everything else, I can guarantee you, you'll find Christmas. You'll find Christ in your life. You'll find the joy and happiness that this world so longs for. You'll find the most important thing that matters to us. Amen.